Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about.
That was not me hemming and hawing.
In therapy.
Socks.
Felker and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is this his draft? Is this a collaboration like it was last year? They talked about it. It was Bill and Elliot Wolf and Dave Ziegler. Is this Bill's draft, Groh's draft, or a collaboration, in your opinion?
I asked him, and he said collaboration was the right word, that it was a collaboration. To me, this seems like a new wave moved in an analytics-type draft. Like, they're looking at relative athletic score or, time, speed, instead of grinding the film.
But you know what?
Hold on. Relative athletic score?
Yeah, that's the new thing, that you put out there where you combine all their combine numbers and you come up with one score. And the first three picks?
Like war.
Really high.
Like a combine war, if you will. Like a formula.
Yes.
You got to be kidding me.
Okay, but here's the thing. I know a franchise that is really into analytics. The Baltimore Ravens. Look at their draft. Their draft doesn't look like New England's. They've been in the analytics maybe as long as the Patriots, if not longer. And then you go to the extreme. I mean, this is a bad draft. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm not going to wait 2 years, 3 years. I'm going to say this is a bad one.
There are a lot of people around the league who agree with you, Michael, that they do not think that the Patriots did very well. And they think that this was as a result of macro and his sort of inexperience and not reading the board, not having enough sources around the league to say, put a value on guys.
Right.
That's where Dave Ziegler's been around, worked for the Broncos, knows all these people in the league, and he knows, we don't need to take this guy till later because I know how the rest of the board's.
It's the art.
Greg Bedard on Boston Sports Tonight last night. Mike Holly. Holly's a draft, Nick. He hated the draft. But again, we de-emphasize the media opinion and emphasize, as good as Mike is, which the media guy saying it is different than what Greg is saying. I've talked to league executives. I talked to scouts. This is what they're saying. That's what I'm paying attention to. Bedard does not have some hair across his ass for the team, nor does Bert Prier. But if they hear something negative about the team, they'll bring it to the table. Obviously not afraid. But if they were hearing positive things, they'd reflect what they were being told. And so would Peter King, you big babies. So that's what I pay attention to. You dig into all that stuff about some of these draft picks had sort of a new wave feel. The relative athletic score?
Yeah, RAS.
Is that what they do?
I have no idea.
You just made that up? Who knows these nerds? They love their
acronyms.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a combine formula where they combine and amalgamate or whatever, some sort of
amalgamation.
Algorithm of the combine, all the different testing results, and they put it into one score?
Yeah, that sounds like them.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's like OPS. You just had it all together.
Jesus. So that's horrible. That's a horrible sound.
They've come to ruin football, too.
But he said that Matt Groh running the board doesn't have the sources across the league to call around and say, who are you taking, when are you taking them, to get a firm grip of where a player's going to go and what his appropriate value is. Would Cole Strange have been there at 34? Would he have been there at 54? Matt Groh's not exactly equipped to do it because, as Bedard said, and he also wrote it, that did Groh do as good of a job at his predecessors in this regard? Again, in terms of having sources and figuring out where teams value draft prospects and how they set their board accordingly. Did Groh do as good a job of this as his predecessors? Did he heavily rely on Elliot Wolf and all of his connections from previous jobs, Packers, Browns, Seahawks? Or did he do the job by himself, wanting to justify his promotion in Belichick's eyes? We don't know the answers to those questions yet, but personnel executives around the league, including some with New England ties, are asking those same questions after seeing New England's final draft board. So he did give it to Groh, and because Groh's so new and first time out and doesn't have the sources around the league, he didn't know where Strange was going to go. He didn't have a firm grasp on it, so he kind of panicked and took him at 29 when he could have had him at 39 or 49 or 54. Is that what's going on?
I mean, that feels like that could be the move of a novice.
That's kind of scary. Yeah.
It is. Okay, except that what if it works?
And then he gets all the credit.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that, you know, if we believe what Bill Belichick told us, I'm just offering this up. I don't like the sound of it either, believe me. But Belichick said that Matt Groh basically put last year's draft together. Last year's draft was good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all agree in that.
Sure. Yep.
So can I side by that?
Of course.
I don't believe Bill. I don't believe that.
Neither do I.
I don't believe Matt Groh put the draft together last year. I think Bill Belichick is now assigning that credit to him because he has to justify the promotion of Matt Groh.
Yeah, because this time last year, all we heard was Dave Ziegler's name, and that Ziegler had a lot to do with last year's draft. But now that he's in Las Vegas, you don't hear that anymore. So I don't believe that either.
So here's another tip-off that it actually could have been Matt Groh's draft board or Matt Patricia's. The drafting of Tyquan Thornton, the second-round receiver, might have been a bigger reach than Cole Strange. Again, Bert Breer wrote on Monday morning that one area scout assigned to Baylor. So again, he's talking to a scout. This isn't his draft board. This is talking to a scout who scouts Baylor. One area scout assigned to Baylor told me he had a fifth round grade on Thornton. Few teams had more than a fourth round grade on him, and he went in the second. And then you bore down further into Thornton and how different he is in terms of what the Patriots used to draft at this position.
You want to get faster? You better get faster.
Oh, God, okay. Listen to this.
They are fast.
I think Volan wrote this. Thornton seems to go against most of the Patriots' scouting tendencies at receiver. They rarely take the 40-yard dash into account and instead prioritize the three-cone drill. But Thornton, get this, Maz, was an absolute burner in the 40. Right? His 4.28 was the highest among receivers at the combine.
Yeah, one of the fastest of all time.
He is fast.
But his three cone drill was dreadful.
Correct.
He had a lousy three cone at 7.25. I'll just take his word for him that that's lousy. Furthermore, Zach Cox, who writes for Nesson, and I only know this because Tom Curran linked to his thing in his story, but it was good stuff. And this is great stuff that Zach Cox has here in Nesson. Zach Cox went back and looked at all the receivers Bill has drafted and added up their combine results and compared this Thornton kid to these other receivers that they drafted. And he left out Matthew Slater for obvious reasons. So of all the receivers the Patriots have drafted under Bill Belichick, going back 20 years, this Tyquan Thornton had the fastest 40 time. He had the slowest three cone time.
Okay.
He had the slowest short shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
He's the lightest in terms of weight at 180. And he has the smallest hand size. And I don't know what that exact size is, but
8 inches.
Yeah, it's in the eights. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, how do you know all this? Okay, well, anyway.
No, I saw that. Go ahead. It's
so,
in the eights.
So all of a sudden, after 22 years of drafting, Bill Belichick has never drafted a receiver this small, this light, with those smaller hands, who had the worst time in the three cone in the short shuttle, but the fastest time in the 40. It's like the complete opposite of what Bill has drafted over the years. Does that lead us to believe Bill didn't draft him?
Either that or he pulled a Costanza and went against everything he's done in the past.
Yeah.
Like, at this stage, could you blame him if he did that? So now, look, what do I believe? I believe that that was Matt Groh's pick, okay? But maybe someone did get through to Bill and say, Bill, every guy you've taken blows, and you've used the same formula for 20 years. So maybe you should change the effing formula.
But talk about turning it on its ear.
Yes.
And when I say smallest, by height, he's not the smallest. He's 6'2", and like Branch was below 6. Oh, so he's not the smallest, but he's the lightest.
Slightest.
So in one respect, he's the small. He is the slightest, lightest receiver Bill's ever taken. It's the worst three-cone drill Bill's ever drafted. The worst short shuttle he's ever drafted, and the fastest 40. This kid was faster than Bethel Johnson. Bethel ran a 4.3. This kid ran a 4.28. It's like all of a sudden, Bill's drafting something that he's never drafted before in the second, and he's trading up for it in the second round. Bill didn't make that pick.
That wasn't his guy. That was Skippy Magoo's pick.
And also listen to how...
Coach is the general manager. Coach is in charge. He's been doing this a long time.
Not in the second round, he wasn't.
No, and why did he get so defensive about these picks, too? Isn't that a tell?
All right, so like that to me stands out. All right, so that's those are two developing opinions on the Patriots drafting.
You want to get faster? Just like if you want to get tougher, you better get tough guys.
Thanks.
Can I give you one more variable when we come back?
Maz has one more variable and your calls. This, Celtics, Bruins, whatever you want, don't go anywhere.
You want to get faster? You better get fast, guys.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver.
I'm a little surprised at this one.
That one now, you'll say was a
well,
reach.
Yeah, I will. Like, to me, it's a little of a potential pick here. I know they've obviously wanted a speed receiver.
They don't have a great track record with.
No, they don't with this receivers. Stuff. This one, I don't. This guy, hey, there's some things I like. I thought he was a mid round pick at the very least. You know, hands aren't the best. He's horrible in contact. I mean, anybody touches him running routes, he never breaks a tackle. He gets knocked off balance very easily. Something there you see. Listen, you heard me just defend the Cole Strange one. This one, I got all three notebooks here because I could really read through my other one with him either way, just in case you wanted to do it with the Tyquan Thornton. You know, can run some routes. He's fast. It's not 4.2 fast, I wrote. Very weak hands. Never breaks tackles. Gets shoestringed a lot. Loses balance running routes too much. You know, good burst out of the breaks. You know, he is sudden and can create some separation. Contested catches, 50-50 balls, forget it. He never catches them. Never. You know, so those were the things. Long, skinny, not that strong. You know, so there's some potential there. To me, it was a potential mid-round pick. That's how I kind of left it off.
Chris Sims on the Tyquan Thornton pick. Everyone thought that was a reach. Cole Strange, I will admit, there's a smattering of people, and Chris Sims is one of them, who thinks he wasn't going to last, like Bill said, he wasn't going to last long into the second round. Chris Sims believes that. Chris Gasper believes that. And there's others who believe that. So
right.
I will say the opinion on Cole Strange is a little more mixed. I haven't heard one person say Tyquan Thornton deserved to go where he went.
Had you ever even heard of him?
I haven't heard of any of these guys.
Okay, me neither.
You want to get faster? You better get fast, guys.
Wrong guy to ask.
But again, I heard about a lot of the receivers just from reading a lot of the draft stuff. I'd never heard of this guy at all.
What I find fascinating, and they mentioned there in the clip, in the Chris Sims podcast, not the greatest track record at that position. So true, and as you mentioned, Maz, they value the three-cone drill over the 40-yard dash. They like strong hands. They like contested catches. They like the short shuttle drill, whatever that is at the combine. And now they turn around and draft a guy, trade up to draft a guy who has weak hands, horrible three-cone time, horrible short shuttle time, but blazing 40 times.
Straight line speed, off the charts.
And he's slight. Which
he is fast.
Bill doesn't like slight anything. And all of a sudden they trade up for that? That was either Groh's pick or Robert saying to Bill, you bet everything you've done at receiver, reverse it, flip it, and take that guy. Because that is a complete...
If everything you've done is the wrong thing, do the complete opposite. It's the Costanza.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah, it is. So the one thing I wonder, the only other question I have as we discuss this, again, maybe they just decided, Murray, as you said, to do the total opposite. Like, screw it. Everything we've tried doesn't work, so do it the exact opposite and see what happens. You know, instead of pitching them inside, we're going to pitch them outside. Right? Like, that whole logic. Is there any chance they're... changing the offense in some ways.
Okay, here's your take. Go ahead.
So this is unusual for them to pick a guy like this who can bolt down the field. Or
so how do they change? So what do you have in mind?
I don't know. I'm just asking a general question. I don't have the specific answer for you.
Well, they definitely are. Because they let the fullback go.
Exactly.
And so they're obviously not going to use a fullback.
And they don't have an offensive coordinator. Which Joe Judge is here. Like, you know, like the whole thing, I look at it and say, what are they up to?
They're going
to
have Mac Jones throw like 55 times a game. That's what I'm convinced of. So isn't that a lot of pressure on a second-year quarterback?
Can I just tell you, whatever they're up to scares the crap out of me.
Well, me too. Okay, me too. But I have a hard time believing that Bill Belichick, whether he's 70 or 17 or 27, whatever he is, that Bill Belichick is going to look at this and say, you know what, just screw it. Let's flip everything backwards. Do it the other way. Or better yet, you just take the draft and I'll sit here and you let me know what you... I have a hard time believing he's ever going to do that.
Just let me know what you come up with, Matt.
Well, right, exactly. Like, I just can't accept that as being an option, that it's like the analytics guys, and I don't dispute what Greg said, by the way.
Sorry to cut you off, nor should you. You should feel that way because the guy loves the military and structure and hierarchy. So what, now at this age he says... let's wing it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, no way. No way. There's, you know, I'm not one of these people who believes Bill Belichick should get credit for everything. And he's, you know, a step ahead when everyone else is six steps behind. But I don't think he's an idiot. I do think he has reasons for doing things. And, like, I just wonder, what's the method to the madness? What's the logic behind it? Tell me. And they never will. But I would love to know what's going... They've got to be changing the offense in some capacity. They have to be.
Well, they certainly changed some scouting methods. That's clear. Bill has never drafted a receiver like this guy, not even close. Relative athletic score, says Bedard. So I did. I just Googled it. RAS, you're right. Relative athletic score. And now they have it view NFL draft by team. I would love to know if the Patriots had the highest RAS or if they, you know, can... I don't want to do this on the air, but...
I'll Google it.
These freaking nerds log this stuff. So did the Patriots all of a sudden turn around and start drafting on relative athletic score? Whatever the hell that is. And now they've turned it over to nerds? I'm sure Bill loved that. All right, anyway, there's that long topic. To your calls. Will in Weymouth. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, so aside from Peter King's lack of any communication with anybody under the age of 50 league-wide, I think we need to take the league with a grain of salt when you consider the last three teams to win the Super Bowl mortgaged their drafts to build in free agency, most recently topped off by the Rams, who tossed back Johnny Walker until pick 100 this past weekend.
So what are you saying? I don't understand your point.
And he hung up. Did that not work for the Rams? I mean, these babies.
The league thinks you screwed it up. Maybe the league is wrong, but the league thinks you screwed it up. Just accept it. Or don't, or wait and see, you know, get back to me in 2 years. And if your picks are good, you can then turn around and say the leagues are a bunch of idiots. But the league thinks you screwed it up. No one's making that up. Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they took a receiver in the second round. So obviously they thought it was a big need. So if they're going to do that, why not trade up in the first round to get one of those blue chip studs like Jameson Williams? You know, Detroit went from 32 to 12. To get Jameson Williams. So, why couldn't the Pats have gone from 21 to 12 to go get him?
Derek, we have a theory, or we say we, Jimmy Stewart, that Bill got the first pick and the kid got the rest. And so the first pick is a Bill Belichick pick, close to the ball, safe pick, guard. And the rest?
Matt Patricia.
Relative athletic score. Did you look this up?
Yeah, you're smirking.
I'm smirking
because that's how the draft felt to me. They took a guard in the first round, which has Bill written all over it, and then the rest of them are like, he just handed it off to someone else.
You know, almost 6'5", 300 pounds, and runs, you know, sub 5 seconds in the 40.
Like, again, that's Cole Strange. What do I care what the guard runs in the 40?
So you want me to read you this thing
quickly? You value guys like Cole Strange.
Well, no, I mean, unless they put the RAS thing on him, too. And now it's all about his combine, because this Groh went on about his combine results, how many times he bench pressed.
Okay, according to this Twitter account, which is appropriately slugged Math Bomb, at Math Bomb tweeted, Cole Strange was drafted with pick 29 of round one in the draft class. He scored a 9.95 RAS. What is that again?
Relative athletic score.
Yeah, show me your RAS.
9.
Keep going.
9.95 out of a possible 10. This ranks 7 out of almost 1,300 offensive guards from 1987 to 2022.
There's not a lot of humans out there who are doing that.
This nerd is regurgitating the RAS.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just learned about for the first time last night when Bedard said that. Mm-hmm. I spat out my coffee. I wasn't drinking any. Relative athletic score. This guy had a relative athletic score through the roof.
Tyquan, same guy, Math Bomb.
Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, Math Bomb, same guy tweeted.
Yep.
Tyquan Thornton was drafted with pick 50 of round two. He scored an 8.55 RAS. Yeah, how's your ass?
He's got a great RAS.
He is fast.
A perfect RAS.
Where does that rank go?
This ranked 405th out of almost 2,800 wide receivers from 1987 to 2002.
These guys all had good RASs. Yeah.
There's nice not a lot RASs. Of humans out there who are doing that.
I mean, the second half of that cut, Jimmy, just play. When he got all defensive about the Cole Strange thing, the other, we played this yesterday. I didn't mean to do it again today, but it's come up.
No, you've now unlocked it.
So listen, once again.
A nice round RAS.
Felger and Maz have cracked the case. We're making fun of this, but this is real. They turned it over to nerds who are drafting on relative athletic score. This is a guard, which is like the ultimate position where it's about film and the things you can't really quantify.
You don't care about a guard's speed.
The second half of, I think it was Groh 1 yesterday, Jimmy, where he goes on and on about all the guys' measurables. Go ahead.
And you want to talk about value. The guy started at 3 positions on the offensive line. I think it's kind of, you know, easy to pigeonhole him as a guard. He does a lot. This guy is really tough. He's really smart. You know, he's almost 6'5", 300 pounds, and runs, you know, sub 5 seconds in the 40. There's not a lot of humans out there who are doing that. You know, bench 225, 31 times. This is a really big, strong, tough, athletic guy. If you value toughness, which we do, you know, you value guys like Cole Strange.
In the 22 years here, has Belichick ever referenced what someone benched at the combine?
I don't think
so. Not that I can remember.
Did he ever? I mean, he might have, but I just don't recall him coming out and saying he benched the 225 31 times, and he ran, you know, giving you the combine results, especially at that position.
Yeah, there aren't many humans on the planet that can do that.
I don't care. We mentioned this yesterday again. I don't care about the superhuman. I care about a guard, someone who can block.
There's not a lot of humans out there who are doing that.
This is frightening. The more we dig into this, the scarier this is.
Yeah, you're not going to find that kind of power and speed unless you put a Lamborghini at left guard.
And you think you think it was Patricia, not Groh?
Yeah, I think this is Patricia's team, and it's just like Bill Belichick is like the faceplate of what the Patriots. This is Patricia. Patricia, Groh, the Evan nerd who is the new Ernie Adams. Like, I think that's all three of them.
He was with Patricia in Detroit, too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was with Patricia in Detroit.
And Patricia.
But I think this is Patricia's team.
And Patricia does strike me as a RAS man, so.
Absolutely.
I mean, why not go by the John Madden football video game scores?
Yeah, you may. It's like the same thing. I bet you, 99.
I bet you the Ernie Adams replacement guy's got a fat RAS. Holy crap.
Relative athletic score. That's what we're looking at now.
You know, almost 6'5", 300 pounds.
We're looking at.
And runs, you know, sub 5 seconds in the 40.
All of a sudden, we're looking at a guard's 40 time? Why? Oh, my God. Honestly, this offseason just keeps getting worse by the day.
Weirder.
The more we look at it. Here's Murray's update. We're back with...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Clifton with a puck, bumps it back of the net. 2 seconds remaining in this one as the Bruins shoot it down the length of the ice. And the horn sounds here in Raleigh. Vinny Trocheck with a huge goal and an assist in the third period. Antti Raanta stops 35 of 36. And in his first playoff start, picks up a huge victory. Your final in game one. Hurricanes 5 and the Bruins 1.
All right, we've done plenty of Bruins talk today. We can reset that heading into the last hour and 20 minutes or so of the program, and we'll do it with your phone. So Riley in New Hampshire holding on to Bruce Cassidy thought. Go ahead, Riley.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. This could be a freezing cold take, but at what point do we start looking at Cassidy as maybe a reason for some of the playoffs? I wouldn't say a failure. I know it's only game one, but you go back to the Rath situation with the Islanders last year, and then the whole Krejci rumor that possibly wanted to play with Pasta, but Cassidy wouldn't take him off that top line. I just don't think he's been able to adapt to changes. And even back to when they made the cup run, they really got lucky with the teams they faced. Just some food for thought. I'll hang up. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what I think is firmly on the table here. And that is if the Bruins go one and done, Don Sweeney's done. His contract's up. They haven't renewed him. So that's like, I mean, it just reeks of...
I mean, that's right in your face.
Yeah. I mean, my God, this is it, Don. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to re-sign you unless you do something that compels us to re-sign you, meaning Stanley Cup final or something like that. So I think Sweeney's really tenuous here, unless something's happened behind the scenes that hasn't been reported. But the last reporting is his contract's up and he hasn't been renewed. And if they bring in a new GM...
Then the coach is on.
It's just a matter of time until the GM wants his own coach.
Right. So I'm just going to ask you if you happen to know what Cassidy's contract situation is.
But Jeremy Jacobs, for as tight as he can be, has shown in the past he will fire you with years left on your contract. Dave Lewis signed like a 4-year deal and they fired him after one season.
And he deserved it.
They paid him for 3 years. I think Claude had term left on his contract. So they'll swallow a coach's salary. They've shown that. So if they don't do anything this postseason, I think they may blow the whole front office up. I don't know about Cam. I don't know where that stands. But Sweeney, I would hate to be a GM or a coach who gets into the playoffs without a contract extension. That pretty much tells you you're coaching or managing for your job on a nightly basis. So I think I like Bruce Cassidy. If you're asking me personally, I'd keep him. I don't think he's the problem. Not that he's perfect. But I would fear that the next guy would be worse. I didn't fear that with Claude. I thought he was overrated, and I think that was borne out to be true. But I think Cassidy's good, and you could do worse on the next one. I don't feel that way about Sweeney. I think you could, you know, I think there should be easy upgrades there for Sweeney. What I'd hold Cassidy accountable for right now, the second, is that power play and those mind-numbing cutesy zone entries that they keep trying that don't work time after time after time. It's time to give someone else the puck other than Pastrnak coming into the zone on that stupid power play entry. It's not working. And so that's on the, I know the players want to do it, but it's time for the coach to say, we're not, get over the red line and fire it in. And if we start scoring and that loosens them up a little bit, and then you want to dance over the blue line, fine. But that ain't happening right now. They're all lined up. Carolina's all lined up. You can't get through there. At least Pastrnak can't. Tim in Tennessee on this very topic. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, so I think you echoed my point a little bit. You know, the way to beat the Bruins is get a goal, then park in the neutral zone, because they're just going to dink and dunk trying to get in the zone versus dumping it in. And Cassidy, his biggest failure is he doesn't adjust on the fly. And this team, it's year after year. When the Bruins get beat in the playoffs, they get down by a goal or two, and they can't get zone entry, and the game's over. I mean, it is infuriating to watch, you know, again and again with no change.
Okay. Maybe if you want to hold that accountable, 5-on-5 as well. I don't think it's as glaring 5-on-5. I think 5-on-5, they're willing to dump it in there and go get it. I don't see what you see. Power play? Oh, it's glaring. It's freaking obvious. It's right there for everybody to see.
I mean, and I don't equate all their problems every postseason to that, like, which sounded to me like what he was doing. I feel like the last couple of years in particular, they've been kind of pushed around, and they haven't been big enough or tough enough. And again, I'm not equating the toughness to the hits. I'm talking about fighting for space, fighting for pucks. They get pushed. So that to me is the part that I would equate the, you know, if you want to put a common theme or factor in the last couple of postseasons, a few postseasons.
Stephen Boston, quick.
So outside of listening to Sean McDonough doing the Boston game, Taylor Hall was great last night. And what's unfortunate is that when one player sticks out like that so much, I think what he was referring to is that a 3-1 lead in a series like this is like a 5-1 lead. And that's going to be their problem quickly on the Celtics.
Mike. No, I'm going to stop you there on the Bruins. Taylor Hall was your best player last night, your best forward, and he called you right out after the game, which we've hit on these comments a couple times today, and we'll play it again, you know, later on in the show in the 5 o'clock hour. But he basically said, you know, we always seem to outshoot teams, but we're never in the right place. And I'm paraphrasing there, but boy, is that true. You had a big shot advantage last night. What good was it? You weren't as opportunistic or as threatening as Carolina was with 12 less shots. So what that you outshot him by 12? You weren't in front of the net. You weren't there for the rebound. You weren't in the right place.
Yeah, they're 30 feet away. I mean, that's one of the things about this team. He's right to be frustrated by that.
I mean, he even said it. It's the second chances is what he said. He used the term second chance.
And then he also called out Matt Grizzlick for pinching on that last goal. It's no time to sell the farm, he said.
And you don't want to sell the farm.
No time to sell the farm. I just made it 2-1. I almost made it 2-2. I rang it off the inside of the post. We got them on their heels. There's 17 minutes left in the game. What are you doing? Selling the farm. Play it out. We got them in a good spot. We got plenty of time to tie the score. What are you doing pinching like that, costing us the game? So one part of me likes that Taylor Hall did it. It's okay. Speak some truth to it. Maybe that room needs it a little bit. Kind of an outsider telling you what's what. I'm okay with that part. But then again, is that why Taylor Hall's not very liked and has been a bad teammate across the league?
Well, so again, I like the general comment about we needing to be in front of the net and getting rebounds and fighting for pucks and stick our nose in there. That comment I like. That is a collective. This is what we don't do, and we need to do it if we want to win. You know, like lots of players do that in leadership roles. But calling out, you know, Grizzlick, whether it's by name or not, and again, it feels like that's the play he was referencing there. Grizzlick's pinch, that I don't like. Now you're singling a guy out, and I don't think other guys on the team will like it.
All right, back to your phones in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
I posed the question to Matt Groh after the third day. I said, you know, is this football team better than the one that finished the end of the season? Now, look, I didn't expect a real answer. He didn't give me a real answer. But you should be able to say, yes, we're better. We did better in the offseason. We made up for who we lost. We got better with who we got in the draft. We feel really good about our team. And they can't say that. You know why? Because it's not true. They're not a better football team than the team that finished 10-7, fumbled down the stretch, got killed in the playoffs. They're not better. And so, to me, that's the big thing. And you talk about the guard. Look, you won't get him in the second round. You know, who cares? You right. won Super Bowls with Dan Conley, undrafted. Brian Stork, a center who was, I think, a fourth-round pick. Ryan Wendell, who was undrafted. Then you come around. Joe Tooney you take in the third round.
Right.
Starts immediately. Helps you. Shaq Mason,
fourth round.
Yep. Starts immediately. Help you. Why do you need a guard in the first round? How is it that helping this team get better?
Big boy all fired up last night on BST. The medium boy, maybe that's it. He was hungry. Guy's got to be hungry. All that weight he's lost and kept off?
Definitely.
Hangry. Taking out on the team. Taking out on the show. Taking out on you out there, the listener. Good job, Greg. Learning well. But that being said, that is not like some Belichick kid. That's not like some hot take artist there. I mean, you don't think Greg Bedard would love to talk about drafting a guard? Like, that's right up his alley.
Mm.
He's not... I feel like there's this pushback that the people who are ripping the Patriots are like anti-Belichick or anti... You know, the usual defend the wall, baby Patriot kind of thing. You just hate Bill. Peter King just hates Bill. Like, that thing? Like, the usual baby thing that we heard for 20 years? Is that Bedard?
No.
No.
Don't you think Bedard... If Cole Strange made sense... You don't think Greg Bedard would be leading that charge and you get to talk about his freaking pad level and leverage points and blob, all that nonsense that he talks about on the offensive line? You think Greg Bedard would be first in line?
He'd be talking about his footwork.
To trumpet the skill set of the guard? If anyone would have loved the Patriots taking, if anyone would love the Patriots taking a guard in the first round, it'd be Greg Bedard. But even he, after talking to people around the league, said, no, that was not the right pick, and people around the league are laughing at you. So that, you know, that ain't, he should be on your side if you like that pick. And even he's not. If you've lost Bedard on the guard, you've really screwed it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his point's valid. Are they better than they were last year?
No.
I feel they're worse.
They are worse. And again, that's as of right now.
And again, it's relative to the field.
Right.
I mean, in a vacuum, if they were playing themselves.
Take the field out of it.
If they're playing themselves from last year, it's close.
They lost J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, you're worse at corner, you're worse at linebacker as of right now.
Definitely.
Offensive line.
And you're no better on the D-line. And you're probably, I'm sorry, even if this kid's great, is he going to be as good as Shaq Mason? Shaq Mason was considered by many scouts to be your best player.
You lost both guards.
So you're probably going to be worse on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll probably figure it out as they tend to. But net-net, they're probably a little worse on the offensive line. You're better at receiver. You'll be better at quarterback. You know, Jones is going to be better, right? And that's significant. So your passing game should be better. what else is going to be better?
I'm not sure anything else is. This is why I say...
Your coaching's worse.
Yeah. Now, look, and again, I say as of today, if their draft pans out, and then they could... Of course they'll be better.
And
yes,
I'm talking about... taking a jump.
What's that?
And the quarterback maybe taking a jump.
Yes, we mentioned that.
Yes,
okay. Well, clip that, Jimmy.
It's all right.
Yep. No, it's all right, Murray. It's totally fine. But look, I would say again, based on where they are right now today, they're worse.
Yeah.
Well, now, let's see how the draft pans out and what have you. And that's not even factoring in the field, which is a lot better.
So I can see where the big fella's coming from. Back to your calls. Pete in the car. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I think the pick that would concern me most, and this is, again, just go back and look at Belichick's history, it's the second-round pick like you guys are talking about. And to me, this is just Bethel Johnson redo. And, you know, he's a guy who ran a sub-4.2 or whatever, sub-4.3, 40, and had 39 career catches and 606 yards and 4 touchdowns over 6 years. So
I understand.
That's the stuff that scares me. I'll give him credit on the guards and on the running backs and on the cornerbacks and trust that that'll pan out, but... This is the more disconcerting one.
Well, the Tyquan Thornton kid is even farther down the line, if you will, than Bethel Johnson. More of a 40 time, less of a football player, more of an athlete, less of a three cone guy, which I like them emphasizing the three cone. I prefer quick over fast, which is what that whole thing implies. This is just the opposite. This kid has an incredible 40 time and a horrible three cone. That's like,
yeah, you just can run in a straight line. It's the like three cone drill tells you can run a good route, right?
It's taken the Patriots' past drafting philosophies and turning it on its ear. Michael in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
I think you guys are missing the point here. Every time ownership comes up his street with personnel and pulls his chain, he reacts in sort of the self-preservation way. He did the same thing with Garoppolo. He wanted Garoppolo to look good because ownership was trying to force Brady down his throat, so he sent him where he'd succeed. This I think he wanted this kid to fall on his face and say, hey, okay, Robert, how do you like the scouts running the draft now? Now get out of my personnel.
Okay.
Yeah, what about last year?
Personally set the scouts up to fail? Like, I don't know. I don't know how that makes any sense.
It doesn't. And what about last year?
What about last year? So I think last year that was Ziegler. And it was more, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But Dard said last night that it feels like the analytics took over in this draft, the relative athletic score, which I had never heard of, and we sort of dug into today, that all these guys rank super high in something called relative athletic score. And this might be sort of the new direction of the scouting staff. And I can't believe that Bill would have, that at 70 years old, that's Bill's thing. And after 20 years telling us that he doesn't care about your combine results, all of a sudden he's talking about how many times he benched the 225 and what he ran in the 40. Yes, Jimmy, we have breaking news.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, bit of a surprise, but Sham Sharania of The Athletic just tweeting that the Celtics say that Marcus Smart is out for Game 2 against the Milwaukee Bucks tonight due to a thigh contusion. Marcus Smart not playing.
That blows me away.
Same.
He's actually going to miss because of a bruise?
He's actually hurt.
So this is like, what, a Charlie horse? Is that the deal? It's so bad that he can't play, he's got swelling and blood in there or whatever else?
So I was 1,000% wrong. I'll just say that up front. I've been mocking this for the last 24 hours or so, saying, does anyone think he's going to miss this game? So I'm dead wrong. I'll take that. Now I'll pivot to, how is he not playing with a thigh bruise?
You got me. I don't know. I mean, it must be bad. And when I say bad, like athletes will say, like that those Charlie horses where you get swelling and bleeding in there can be really bad.
Okay, so here's my new one. It's not a thigh bruise. He also banged his knee, and he's got a knee. Marcus Smart's too tough, and these games are too important for him to miss with a thigh bruise.
Right? Tore something, or I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
They're covering something else. But
so
even
it's gonna be Derek White then, right?
But he still finished the game. He still finished the game the other night, which to me is like the tell. When you're hurt and it's really done something, they pull you out and you don't come back. He finished. I mean, when I say he finished the game, I mean, he was in there in the fourth. I don't know if he...
Right, he didn't leave the game after he got hit in the leg.
No, he obviously came out with that stinger or whatever, and then he came back and he went down a couple times but stayed in. I don't remember, you know, when did he leave the floor, Jimmy? I just don't exactly remember, but I don't remember him, quote-unquote, leaving early. But that blows me away. Again, I was dead wrong. I thought they were dramatizing that thing. he's going to miss, but now he's actually going to miss with the thigh bruise. I don't believe that. That's my new thing. He's got something else. He's too tough. He is a tough guy. He's a drama queen. I mean, geez, I know that, but he is tough. He's not going to miss a playoff game with a bruise. Is that possible?
I mean, that's what they're saying, but again, I don't believe it.
Again, if you're asking me, is it possible? Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. Those Charlie horse injuries can get bad. Like, so, you know, at least if you've talked to athletes who've had it in the past, you can get a lot of blood build up in there, and it can be really, really painful to the point where, like, you can't really run. Okay, so if you can't run, you can't play.
Okay.
But I'm as shocked as you are. I thought for sure he'd play in this game.
If you join us just a second, there is breaking Celtics news. Big Jim Murray will give you more details here in the update. There are no commercials, and we're right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.